blues and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
It said, David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments. I guess everybody was a musician back then. It was David. We knew David was a musician, but all the house of Israel, everybody was playing instruments all at once. And they didn't have a practice time either before they did this. So, all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, even on psalteries, even on timbrels, and even on cornets, and even on the cymbals. That would be my instrument of choice, the cymbal. I'd be a clanger. But the entire house of Israel, everybody's playing instruments, everybody's rejoicing in the Lord, everybody's worshiping God. And the reason for it is the ark, which had been separated, the Ark of the Covenant, which we took our teenagers to last week, the life-size replica of the Ark of the Covenant where the tabernacle and all the furniture therein. The Ark of the Covenant had been separated from the tabernacle. They took the Ark out of the tabernacle and brought it into a battlefield when they were fighting against the Philistines. And the Philistines captured the ark in the battle and took it back to their city. So we lost the ark. Israel lost their Ark of the Covenant. That's not good. The Ark of the Covenant is where the mercy seat was, where the cherubim is, where the presence of God manifested himself to the high priest. This is where God dwelt with his people. This is not good to lose the ark. The ark is losing the presence of God from your midst. And so the ark was separated from the tabernacle. And one commentator, I thought it was 25 years, I read this one commentary, a guy who I trust, and he said it was 75 years that the ark was missing from Israel. It was gone. And you know the story if you read your Bible, and I'm sure all of you have. But the Philistines set up their pagan god Dagon in the same sanctuary as the Ark of the Covenant, and Dagon, the fish god, kept falling over, and finally it broke into multiple pieces, and then God judged the Philistines, and the Philistines were very discomforted by the judgment. And if you remember what that judgment was, you'd probably laugh. But they were judged by God, and they finally gave up and put the Ark on a cart and sent it back to Israel. Get this thing out of our country. It's not good for us to have him here. So the ark was separated for 75 years. And during that time, back in Shiloh, the city of Shiloh, where the tabernacle was set up, everything went on as usual. The priests went to work every day. They went to the altar, they went to the laver, they went to the candlestick, they went to the table of showbread, they went to all these places. But there was no presence of God there. It's a kind of a picture of church continuing, going on. Everybody, we're just doing church, but the presence of God is missing. We would say that's a dead church. God's not in there, but they're going through all the ceremonies, all the rituals, and they got the stained glass, and they got the hymnals, and they got everything going, but there's no God in the building because the ark has been gone. And that's what took place in Shiloh, and this has gone on for 75 years. Israel is worshiping in a place where God is missing, where the presence of God is not there. They took the ark into battle, thinking that they could use God to gain the victory. And they stopped loving God and started using God. Like the Ephesian church in Revelation 2, they left their first love. They stopped loving him and just started using him. We use him to get what we want. He's the one that we turn to when we need something. But he's not the one we love and follow. And he became very mechanical for them just to look to God and think that he's just going to be the supply God and to treat him with such disrespect. So he allowed himself, he allowed his place of manifestation, the ark, to be taken by the Philistines to teach Israel that he will not be used by them. He's their God. He's their leader. They need to follow him, not just use him. It's just an attitude problem. So when the Philistines returned the ark, you remember this story. We did a message on it. The men of Beth Shemesh. The ark first came to a little town called Beth Shemesh, and everybody was so excited. The ark is back. The ark is back. And they all ran out to see the box and the oxen and the wagon, and the ark was sitting on top of it. And they were all excited about it. And there was the beautiful ark, the gold overlaid, the wood was underneath it, and it was gold covered, and then there's beautiful angelic cherubim on top, and then the beautiful, beautiful plate that covered the top of the ark called the mercy seat. And on that mercy seat, the stains of blood that had been stained there for many years of the high priest putting blood on it, those stains never wiped off, but always there, the blood-stained mercy seat. And, of course, in Romans 3:25, we're told that Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. He's our mercy seat. And so they were so excited about the ark returning, the ark returning. They made a fatal mistake. When hundreds and hundreds of them died that day, they made a fatal mistake. They lifted the lid. They opened the mercy seat. They went beyond the mercy seat and looked inside the ark and saw the contents of the ark and died. Some of you saw that movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, when they opened the ark and kind of made it a Hollywood dramatic thing with lightning bolts and everything. But it literally happened to these people. It may not have been with all the lightning bolts and everything, but they looked beyond the mercy seat into the contents of the ark. Well, what was inside the box? And you know what was inside the box. Hebrews 9:4 tells us three items were in the box. One was the law, the tablets of stone. The law was in there. Another was a sampling of the manna in the wilderness that God fed his people with when they came through the wilderness. And the third item that was in there was Aaron's rod that budded. Now, the budding of Aaron's rod spoke of God's choosing Aaron as his high priest over and above the other princes of Israel. And these are three areas that Israel failed God. They broke his law, they despised his provision, and they rejected his authority. Three areas of sin that Israel has committed. And God took their areas of sin, he took their things that they broke God's law, and they despised his provision, they rejected his authority. Those sins were put inside the box, and a mercy seat covered them. So God removed their sin from them, hid them from anyone's view. Take your sin just like he does with you. Take your sin, cast it into the depths of the sea in Micah chapter 7. As far as the east is from the west, I will remove your iniquities and your transgressions far from you. God removes our sin from us and doesn't want us to go back and look at it. He wants us to keep our eyes where? On the Lord Jesus Christ, on the mercy seat. So these guys made a grave mistake. They were not excited or enthusiastic about the mercy seat. They wanted to see what's inside. I wonder if they took anything out of there, those little rascal Philistines. And they went beyond the mercy seat and looked at the law, looked at their sin, looked at their failure. And hundreds died, maybe thousands, as a result of disrespect to the mercy seat of God. To see the mercy seat is exciting enough. You don't need to see whether or not your failures are still secure. To see the mercy seat was exciting, because that's where the presence of God manifested himself, right there above the mercy seat between the cherubim. So that they died. That's 1 Samuel 6:19. Inside the ark, we said, were the three items. Then in verse 3 here, in 2 Samuel, in verse 3, we see the ark of God. They were going to bring the ark finally. They were going to bring the ark of God to Jerusalem. It had been away for 75 years. They're going to bring the ark of God to Jerusalem. This was David's heart's desire, and also the people of Israel. And they wanted to bring the ark to Jerusalem for the purpose of putting the ark on the highest hill in Jerusalem so that their nation, their country, would be one nation under God, if that's a familiar sentence to us. They wanted to put him high on the hill and say, he is the king, he is God over us, and we are one nation under him. And that was a very good desire. That was a good heart's desire. It was a good thought on their part. The unfortunate thing is when they decided to move the ark, they ignored the instructions from the book of Exodus on how to move the ark. There's very special instructions on how to move the ark. They ignored it. And you know that everything in the Old Testament, all the instructions regarding the tabernacle, the ark, the temple, and everything has spiritual significance in the New Testament. It's all shadows of spiritual truths. And so to what they did was they adopted the invention of the Philistines and put the ark back on a cart. They put it back on a cart, put an oxen in front of it to pull the thing, when that was not God's method. And so they put the Ark of the Covenant on this cart. The oxen was pulling it. It was not the method. The Levites, according to the book of Exodus, it was to be the Levites who were supposed to carry the Ark upon their shoulders. There's long staves, the long poles that went through each side of the ark, and Levites were to lift the ark and carry it on their shoulders. Why did God want that? God wanted that picture because after they were saved and came through the Red Sea, he wanted them to take up their cross and follow him. So the stave was on their shoulder. He wanted that to be, they would be following God's plan, following God's will. The cloud would lead them. That's a picture of the Word of God and the Spirit of God leading them to where he would have them go, and they would take up their cross. In this case, they would take up the ark in the presence of God, and they would follow. So to put it on a cart is a whole different scene. That's not taking up a cross. That's finding some new fangled gimmick to arrive at the same place but using a different method. And that is the new cart syndrome. That is something that we, as God's people, always need to be watchful. That our ministry doesn't become a new cart.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Hello, this is David Wilbur, a professional insurance agent right here on the Treasure Coast for more than 30 years and partner in InsurePro Insurance Agency located in St. Lucie West.